It is good to gather together for worshiping the Lord and to honor His name and to proclaim what has happened in the life of Elijah. I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 8 if you haven't already. We'll be looking at that for a few moments. Before we do, as because we're having our Constitution service in just a few weeks, about a month's time, I thought it appropriate to read part of our article of faith as to what we believe concerning baptism. It says, "We believe that the Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior with its effect and our death to sin and resurrection to a new life, that it is prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper." It is solemn for me, especially given the fact that it's one of my children, to consider what baptism is. And I thought the passage this afternoon was an appropriate one, Acts chapter 8, with the Ethiopian eunuch and his belief and subsequent baptism. Interestingly, someone that Elijah invited to come was unable to and sent him a card and wrote on the card, "Do not open until April the 15th. And when he opened it this morning, there was some very, very kind words, and they quoted this passage to him. And so I'll read it, and then we'll make some comments regarding it. Starting in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea." So the details of this narrative are seemingly simple. But one of the things you have to keep in mind is this is not long after the beginning of the church in Jerusalem. The Spirit had been poured out on the day of Pentecost. There had been great miracles taking place and people added to the church. And then suddenly the deacons are chosen. And Philip is one of those deacons, along with Stephen and the others. And Stephen has that wonderful sermon that he preaches before the council, and then, of course, is killed just outside of the city. And when that happens, Saul, later to become the Apostle Paul, is the one who enforces the persecution and has an impact on Philip. Philip goes forth preaching the gospel. He goes to Samaria, and he preaches the gospel in Samaria. And when he sees the effects on the people, he calls back to Jerusalem, not on the phone, but he sends a message back and he says, you have to come and see this, because it's not just in Jerusalem. And so Peter and John come to Samaria and they join him there and they see the outpouring of the Spirit. But when that is done, the apostles go back to Jerusalem and preach in the villages of Samaria on the way. But an angel of the Lord appears unto Philip and says, I've got a special task for you. I want you to go, and I want you to go to the road that leads south out of Jerusalem towards Gaza. And I'll have a task for you there. And so Philip obeys, and he heads south on his own 2 feet. We were walking a lot the other day, and it seemed like it was long. It was nothing compared to how long Philip was walking. And he comes along the road, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch had been worshiping Jehovah in Jerusalem. That's why he had come. And as he had left the temple, he was returning to Ethiopia. This eunuch had great authority. He had been given authority by Queen Candace. He had the charge of all her treasure. He was a wealthy man because of this. And he is now heading back. And he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading the prophet Isaiah. Now to us, we each either have a Bible with us, or we have one at home. Some of us may have more than one. It doesn't seem odd to sit down and read the Bible. In this day and age, it would have been extremely odd for an individual to own even one book of the Old Testament. But this Ethiopian eunuch owned the book of Isaiah at least, if not more. And so he's sitting in his chariot. He's not driving it. Someone else is driving the chariot. And he's sitting down and he's reading. He's reading the book of Isaiah. It is good to know that when we're finished with public worship, we should certainly continue to study and to worship the Lord. So Philip draws close because the Holy Spirit instructs him to join himself to the chariot. And as he does, he hears the eunuch reading out loud. This is something that might also sound strange to us. But I would tell you that to read the Bible out loud, to pray out loud when it's just you, is of immense benefit. It keeps your mind focused. And this man is reading the Bible out loud. And Philip hears what he's saying, and he uses it as an opportunity to join himself by asking the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? Philip probably understands that this man doesn't understand what's taking place. And so the eunuch invites him up. He invites him up, and he admits that he doesn't understand, that he doesn't comprehend. That's not something for someone in a place of power to do, but it's not something that any of us find easy, to recognize that we don't understand something, that I need the help of someone else to help me along with a question that I have, and to show our own vulnerability before someone else, let alone someone else that you don't even know. And so Philip comes up into the chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah 53. It says, he was led as sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch wanted to know, is the prophet speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about someone else? Fascinatingly to me, the Jews in their regular readings in the synagogues will not read Isaiah 53. They'll skip over this passage because it so clearly is pointing to someone that they don't want to recognize. And so he's asking, who is he speaking about? And Philip begins with that scripture and preaches Jesus. He says he's talking about Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came to die for sin. And so they continue their journey, and Philip is preaching one-on-one with this man. And as they go, the eunuch notices that there's some water. We don't know if it was a wadi, which is a stream in the desert that will fade away. We don't know if it's an oasis. We don't know if it's just a big puddle. We don't know what it is, but we understand that it is deep enough for them to go into. And so the eunuch says, what's hindering me? What's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip responds with a wonderful answer. He says, if you believe with all his heart, you may. And it's clear what he's talking about, isn't it? He's talking about believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart. He may be baptized. And so the eunuch commands the chariot to stop. They get out. Both of them go down into the water. And Philip baptizes the eunuch. When they come up, the eunuch is rejoicing. He is as pleased as punch. He is happy. He is overjoyed. And the Holy Spirit takes Philip and carries him away. We don't know exactly how this takes place, but it is certainly miraculous. And he goes and he continues to preach the gospel in other places. And the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. So there's some lessons that I think we can and hopefully will learn from this narrative. One, this may not seem as obvious at first, but we should always be available to obey the will of God. Philip went to Samaria and was preaching the gospel. Suddenly, Philip is on his way to Gaza to preach the gospel. Suddenly, Philip is baptizing the eunuch. Suddenly, Philip is on his way to Azotus. And suddenly, Philip is on his way to Caesarea. He is going where the Spirit of God wants him to go, to do what he would have him to do. Now, we will not have the direction of an angel coming to us. We won't have the direction of the Spirit of God speaking audibly to us. But we certainly do have his word. And we certainly do have the Spirit of God in us if we're Christians. And it will empower us. Those things will empower us to follow God's will. And we ought to be open and free to do so. That it should not be about, oh, what do I need? It is about the service of the Lord. And that's what Philip was focused upon. Secondarily, we should always be employed in private study and worship of God. The Ethiopian eunuch is a great example of this. He is reading after worship. He is on his way and he can't get enough. He wants to understand, even though he doesn't. So he's going to keep reading. He's going to keep reading and pray that the Lord will give him understanding. And of course, the Lord does. The Lord sends Philip for his benefit. Philip comes along and gives him that understanding. But it reminds us of Jesus. How often do we see in the Gospels the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taking time away from the crowds to go and pray, taking time for meditation? It's an encouragement to us to do the same. Life today is busy because we let it be busy. It doesn't have to be that busy. We ought to be able to take time to spend time with the Lord in prayer, in study, in asking questions. If we have questions, find somebody to ask those questions to. Get the answers to those questions. Learn of the Lord. It's an encouragement to us to think about this Ethiopian desiring to know who God is and seeking out those questions. We should always be willing to ask help. That's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? We have our own pride, we have our own personalities, and we think we've got it figured out. Well, if there's anything I can tell you about the Word of God, it's that you don't have it all figured out. None of us do. None of us will. Because it is describing to us the mind of an infinite God, and we do not have an infinite mind. We're not going to know it all. Everyone has to rely upon somebody to give them explanations, to give them understanding. We ought to humble ourselves and rely upon those that the Lord has placed in our lives to be that source of wisdom and understanding to draw us closer to the Lord. One of the things that I think is an issue in today's busy world is we don't listen enough. We don't listen to what someone else's concern is. Philip didn't get into the chariot and say, now it's great you've been reading that, but let me tell you about this Jesus that I know. But he started exactly where the eunuch was. He said, now you've been reading this, and let me tell you, this is about Jesus. Too often we don't hear the concerns of others because we're thinking of our own answers. Unfortunately, our own answers are not normally to the questions that they have in their mind. We have to listen to what's being said so that we understand the issue and try and help with that issue with the Word of God. We need to be effective listeners. If you're going to be an effective listener, to speak about Jesus Christ whenever the opportunity arises, you know what you need to do? You need to study the Word of God. You need to be able to know that Isaiah 53 is pointing to Jesus Christ. You need to be able to know these scriptures so that when you're speaking to someone, you can do the same thing that the Lord does when he's speaking to the woman at the well. And take that example of water and talk about the water of life. To speak about the things that are on the minds and hearts of people, it's not easy, but it's what is asked of us by the Lord. Another lesson we can see is God moves and works in the salvation of souls. We can think about it. People will say, oh yes, I chose God. Well, they may feel that way. But look what God did for this Ethiopian eunuch. He tracked him down. Not only he sent an angel, but he sent the Spirit to speak to Philip and put him in that chariot. That is God moving at work for a purpose. And the purpose is the salvation of a soul. And that is a glorious thing. All of this has been pushed together for the benefit of one person. Sometimes we are preaching to just a few and you wonder, it gets a little discouraging. But you know, one soul is enough. One soul is enough. Philip has been sent such a long way. So much to be done for one soul. One soul is sufficient, isn't it? We have to have that in our mind. This is reminiscent of the prodigal son. It's that one person coming back. The parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to find the one. This is what the Lord does for us. This is what He does consistently. And although at times we say, oh, you know, I was seeking God. God sought you. God chose you. God pushed His way into your life. It is, sometimes we think, oh, it has to be a miracle. It has to be miraculous. It was certainly here for the Ethiopian eunuch. It was miraculous in his life. But it's no less miraculous to have someone in your life who's telling you about your need of Jesus Christ. It's no less miraculous to have someone stand next to you and say, put their arm around your shoulder and say, you need to know the love of God. That you're a sinner, but you can be saved by grace through faith in God's Son. That is a miracle in the same right. We shouldn't be waiting for that booming voice from heaven for lightning to strike. Because lightning is striking every time you hear the name Jesus Christ. Every time you hear it, it's praise to His name. You think, I'm baffled by the idea that the word hallelujah is said the same way in over 160 languages throughout the earth. It's said, it's pronounced the same way even though it may be spelled differently. And it all means praise the Lord. The root is all the same. Praise ye Jehovah. So when people are saying it, they think they're saying it to Buddha. They think they're saying it to someone else. They're saying praise ye Jehovah. It doesn't take a great knowledge for God to be praised. But it takes great faith to follow after Him. And that great faith doesn't take a mountain. It's the size of a mustard seed. Just a little bit. When you think about this Ethiopian eunuch, he talks to Philip and he says, what's preventing me? What's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip just has an easy answer, doesn't he? If you believe. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't stand back and recite mountains of doctrine and theology. What does he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe upon Him. I trust Him. I believe this is who He is. I'm going to follow after Him. And so, the command is done. Stop the chariot. There's some water. Let's do it. Let's be baptized. In that is the knowledge that the proper prerequisite, the proper requirement for baptism is belief. It's not just something you do at a certain age. It's not something that you do when you have a baby and have the baby baptized. The baby can't believe. The prerequisite for baptism is belief. It's clear from the Ethiopian. It's clear from the scriptures. You must believe. That's the thing that would hinder you. Do you believe? Then there's no hindrance. Do you not believe? Is the question. The proper mode of baptism is immersion. It's what the Greek word means. It means to immerse. It is evident that Philip and the eunuch get into the water together. This is not a notion of taking some water and sprinkling it on him. This is also not the notion of the water being special. It was the water that they came across in the desert. No one stopped and sanctified the water. No one made it special. It was special because of the belief in the Son of God. That's what made it special. We have to keep that in mind, don't we? And then what baptism is. It is identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's saying, I believe in what He has done. I trust Him. That is the reason for rejoicing. It is not washing away your sins in the water. It's because Jesus Christ has already washed them away through faith. And the baptism is a sign of that. So then the question comes, what hinders you? Have you been baptized? It's based on belief. It doesn't matter what the things of the world are going on. It is between you and God. Not you and your friends. Not you and your family. shouldn't be about sentiment. It shouldn't be, oh, you know, I was baptized. Well, do you believe now? Did you believe then? You know, the Baptists originally were branded to be seditionists because they were baptizing people that had been baptized already. Baptized as infants. Baptized without belief. It is the idea that believer's baptism is the key. Because you cannot follow your Lord unless He is your Lord. That's what baptism is all about. God is not concerned with your sentimentality. He's concerned with your everlasting soul. And to follow Him in baptism is to declare that you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch did. He is the one who holds you in His hand. That's the only thing that should hinder baptism. It's unbelief. If you don't trust Him, don't be baptized. It doesn't make any sense. Know who you believe, know what you believe, and then follow Him. That is what the Lord wants of us. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? The Ethiopian eunuch did, and because of that, Philip baptized him to declare to himself, to declare to the drivers of the chariot, whoever else was in his group, I'm now different. Not because of the baptism, but because of what's taking place inside me. That's what it is about, and we point you to Jesus Christ because of it. Amen.